Good morning. It's 16th April. Our first reading for today is Numbers 35, which deals with the cities of refuge. I'm reading to you from an anthology of Bible studies written by Brother Harry Whittaker. I read, "When the manslayer was come to his refuge, from no corner of the country would he have to travel more than 30 miles, he was to be met at the gate by the city elders, to whom he would declare his need. When they were satisfied that this was a bona fide case, they were to gather him into the city unto them, as though accepting him into their family, and they were to give him a place, so that he might dwell among them. But before these privileges were conceded, there must first be, in his hometown, a thorough investigation of the pros and cons. If a charge of wilful murder were established, then the criminal lost all right of sanctuary. He was then escorted back home, there to be handed over to the avenger of blood. A murderer could not buy back his own life by paying a ransom, no matter how substantial. If, however, it be established that the killing was accidental, then the man under threat from the avenger of blood was out of danger only so long as he stayed within his city of refuge. It is always referred to as his city, the former place of residence no longer reckoned as his. With this, there would nearly always come a change of occupation from country life to town life, a drastic reorganisation of work, habits and interests. If he tired of the monotony of living in this one place, there was to be no buying himself off. He must be reconciled to this restricted living until the death of the high priest. Viewed simply as part of the civil law of Israel, this is a regulation which makes no sense at all. The high priest might die in the following week, or might continue to hold office for another 30 years or more. All very fortuitous and pointless. But in the working out of the type, how superbly appropriate it appears to be." Brother Harry now considers the city of refuge as a figure of the ecclesia. I read once again. "Wherever men live, there must be easy access to this home of safety. The way should be made as smooth as possible and well signposted, so that the one in need may lose as little time as possible in getting himself gathered in. But his acceptance must be subject to a decision of worthy men of sound judgment. Then they may accept him and assign him a holy place in a city steeped in the study of the law of God. Men of all types may seek safety there, whether Jews or Gentiles. For each of them, it becomes his city. It was, and is, conceivable that a man saved from the threat hanging over him might tire of the restricted life in his refuge, might even feel fed up or critical of the society he mixes with there, and then, in petty self-assertion, may decide to have done with what he deems to be a spiritual straitjacket. The elders warn him of his folly and of the grave risk that he runs, but in high conceit and forgetful of how glad he once was to flee to this place of safety and comfort, he goes off to work out his own salvation. But if he can more wisely live in peaceful patience until the death of the high priest, then full freedom is his forthwith and for ever. Now he may go to his inheritance, which he has often thought about longingly, but has not been able to enjoy. The high priest of all who have fled to the ecclesia for safety and forgiveness still functions. But with his return from heaven, that intercessory work comes to an end. For such, he will be high priest no longer. So now they are free to go forth to enjoy the promised land, and especially their inheritance in it, and this without threat of any kind. May that day soon come. Thank you for listening.